Okay, let's open our Bibles again. We are going to start this morning from the book of Isaiah chapter 30. I just want to take this as our Bible reading, and then we'll review what we did yesterday and then pick it up from there. From verse 15. For thus the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has said, in repentance and rest you will be saved. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you were not willing. And you said, no, we will flee on horses. Therefore you shall flee. And we will ride on swift horses. Therefore those who pursue you shall be swift. He said, 1,000 will flee at the threat of one man. You will flee at the threat of five, until you are left as a flag on a mountaintop and as a signal on a hill. I want you to notice that God said, if you want to be saved, in repentance and in rest, you will be saved. How will salvation come to you? It's in repentance and in rest. He said, in quietness and trust is your strength. That is what the Lord said. But people, instead of doing that, what they say is, we will flee on horses. God said, for that reason, I will give you reason to run. He said, therefore you shall flee. And they said, instead of coming to repentance and coming to rest thereby, instead of walking in quietness and trust, people said, we will ride on swift horses. Therefore, the Lord said, those who pursue you shall be swift. Praise the Lord. Now let's read another portion of the scriptures. The book of Matthew chapter 5. Now we'll read from verse 23. No, not verse 23, please. Pardon me. Sorry, I think I took my reference wrongly. Let me just quickly correct that. Just give me a second. It's 13, not 23, sorry. Jesus said this, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? How can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. In verse 14, it says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. He said, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Can we rise to our feet and take our declaration after this Bible reading? Can we quickly do that? Now, if you believe the Lord has something special packed for you this morning, can you give me an amen?
Amen.
Now, can you declare this after me? Say, I am being filled with the knowledge of His will.
I am being filled with the knowledge of His
will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
In all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
As a result of it, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord.
I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord.
I am pleasing Him in all respects.
I am pleasing Him in all respects.
I am bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Say,
this morning,
the word of the Lord is coming to me. It will enter my heart.
It
will give me light.
It
will give me direction.
It
will heal me in every area. And it will make me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, can you turn to your neighbor and turn to somebody and tell the person, God bless you. Wisdom is coming to you this morning. All right, let's take our seats. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right. Now, we read those two portions of the scriptures as our main text. And what I'm going to do, first of all, is to review some things that we said yesterday. Remember, I said that today we are going to answer questions. I hope you came with your questions. Anytime we go around teaching like this, that's the most important thing for me. That's the most important thing, that we answer as many questions as possible. And today, I have plenty of time to do that. I hope you do, because I have. Are you getting my point? Yes, I have plenty of time to answer questions. I will answer all the questions today after doing all the teaching that I have in my soul. The Lord is good. All right, yesterday we began to look at a particular thing. One of the things I explained yesterday is that the principle of foolishness, according to Solomon. That when we say, when Solomon said, anger lies in the bosom, or it rests in the bosom of fools. We read that from Ecclesiastes chapter 7, and in verse 9, Solomon made that statement. And he was saying, don't be hasty to be angry. Don't be hasty to be provoked. We explained that what that means is that when you don't have enough information, you easily get angry about things. And as Solomon said, for that reason, take it easy, calm down, rest your soul, get information before you start reacting to situations. The Bible says that the first to state his case will appear just until another comes and examines him. And it's happened to you many times. You heard one side of the story, you wanted to behead the person involved. Then when you heard the other side, you wanted to behead the other person who came to report, do you understand, the situation to you. And that's what happened. I remember when all this Fulani herdsmen crisis began. Of course, most of us are Southerners and Christians. We look at some of these things as an attack on Christians. And I keep on telling people, no matter how painful these things are, don't judge until you have heard the other side of the story. Remember, I remember to him that I don't want to hear the other side. I said, how can you not want to hear the other side? Are you getting my point? How can you not want to hear the other side? That there are always two sides to every story. So the Bible says, Solomon was teaching us that we should always calm down when we are listening to things. And the example we used here, we're specifically analyzing the issue of the country that... Well, you know, the issue of the country, that people get angry at the president, get angry with the political parties. We look, get angry. We say the problem of Nigeria is that of leaders. If only we had good leaders. And we keep on wondering, why can we not have good leaders in a country that has so many potential good leaders? And why don't these good leaders get there? And for that reason, we are angry all the time. People developed high blood pressure. I remember the days of Gani Fawemi. I don't know how many of you remember him. The man was, you know the way he was. But you know the truth? He was severely hypertensive. The man was not physically fit. He was very, very ill. Why? And he said it himself that were it not for his high blood pressure, he would have taken to the bush to start fighting, you know, Jonas Savimbi kind of thing. You get my point? He would have started, you know, guerrilla warfare to try and deliver Nigeria from the shackles of bad leadership, to try and deliver Nigeria from the shackles of military dictatorship. He felt that was a problem. The Bible says that that is how foolishness behaves. Now, I'm not saying the man was a fool. I'm trying to, you remember, yesterday we describe what a fool is anyway. That if I'm, as a lay person, I go to a doctor, the Bible calls me, in that context, I'm walking in foolishness. Not because I'm bad, but because I don't have information. And we're saying that when you don't have information, like I was describing a man like Ganifai me here now, he was looking at everything on the superficial level, on the physical level. He was looking at the surface. So, for that reason, he was angry all the time. If he sees a problem in the country, it has to be Babangida. If he sees a problem in the country, it had to be Abacha. If he sees a problem in the country, it had to be Abdul Salami. Those people put together were his problem. That military people were the problem of the country. You understand? We keep on wondering. We keep on getting angry. Why is it that we can't get good people to get in there? Now, we are saying that because we have understanding, we know leaders are appointed by God, that whether we prosper or not is not decided by the leaders. The leaders are a reflection of whether it is time for prosperity or it is not. We saw that God appoints leaders. Leaders don't come out of nothing. It is the Lord that appoints them. So when he wants to bless people, he gives them a good leader. When he doesn't want to bless them, he gives them a bad one. For that reason, we don't look at the leaders as the reason why the people are not doing well. Are you getting my point? We look at them as a reflection of what is inside the hearts of the people. So instead of somebody like Gani Fawemi getting very angry, and that's why true believers, you have to be very, very careful when you are doing your social crusades. You have to be careful. Many of the social crusaders are not really, they don't have understanding. They are putting their efforts into the wrong places. They are. Sometimes I watch, you know, I used to watch CNN those days. I've not watched them much ever since Donald Trump became the president, because I realized that it looks like they have only one agenda now, you know, to make sure Donald Trump looks bad and to make sure his government fails. And for that reason, they become difficult for me to watch. But those, I used to watch CNN a lot. So I watch all the CNN heroes. I see them try and blow up some things that people are doing, trying to develop the environment, develop the society. And I sometimes I feel sorry for the people that they are showing. That you see, you are putting your efforts into wrong places. Sometimes they come to Africa. Ah, very interesting place, Africa. And they'll be, you know, they'll be campaigning. The Europeans will be campaigning that. I remember there was a time they were saying that I was watching, okay, I got that one on WhatsApp. A BBC reporter was interviewing somebody. And the argument was on how, why contraception was not available in somewhere in East Africa, in Kenya and all of that. And this woman was a Kenyan, trying to emphasize to her that, did we ever come to you to say that was our problem? I don't know whether you're getting my point. You sat in your house, looked at us, decided that the reason why we are poor is that we have too many children. And you came and started offering us contraceptives. And we said, we don't want. He said, no, you don't want because you don't have education. They started offering us abortions. We said, we don't want. So the woman was there campaigning that, why don't you come and ask us what our problem is? Why do you spend, they will spend millions and millions and hundreds of millions of dollars trying to solve problems that we don't have. They think we are white people, we are Europeans. We are not. We have a different set of problems. And then, of course, let me not get there. Because sometimes I get angry with people trying to treat you like beggars, like poor people. They will tell you what your problem is. They will now give you $100 million, of which they spend $75 million flying up and down. And say they are helping you. No, let's not go there. Because it gets me angry. And Africans, we should stop behaving like beggars. I hate it when Africans go around behaving like beggars. This time a man came to my office. He came from the United States. He's a Ghanaian anyway. But there's something that we're supposed to get involved in, a kind of research project. So now asked me, what do we need? What do we need? So I told him, I said, my brother, he's a Ghanaian, but he lives in America, works in America. So from there, he came to our hospital, and he came to my office. I told him simply, I said, my brother, I've seen everything everything that's necessary, we can provide. You don't need anything? I said, well, maybe apart from training, you know, workshops and stuff like that, give us opportunity for training. I said, but all of these things, because he's an African. I said, forget this thing. I said, I don't believe in this begging thing, no. You know, the man looked at me and said, I like your spirit. Because he's used to, when he's talking to Africans, yes, you can help us with biro and pencil and this. They start asking for everything. I told him straight, look, all this you're saying, all this equipment, why can't we buy them? I said, we have this one, we can get this one. We can get this one. He asked, okay, they will provide certain reagents, very expensive reagents. Okay, fine. He said, look, do you mind charging for the services so that you can buy it back? I said, that is perfect for us. Once we supply the reagent for the first few years of the project, I said, we'll take the rest. The guy was looking at me. He said, I like your spirit. Being a Ghanaian, I told him the truth. I said, my brother, I don't believe in begging. Every time you say, right, he said, well, how can I help us? I don't need your help. I can help myself. I believe it totally. Sometimes when I see them on television, I'm very sorry, raising money to build borehole in Nigeria. In my mind, I'm doing like this. Did you see what I did? I'm angry. Because when you stay there, you are shown on TV there, they want to go to Nigeria to build boreholes. Have you come here to see the kind of houses we build? If we needed boreholes, we can build them. Don't be using us to raise money. You know, if I have a friend that lives in Texas. He gets very angry. When he sees them looking for money for God, he said, this is how they used to calm their conscience. That after doing iniquity, they come and donate two boreholes and say that you are helping people. I tell people all the time, in Nigeria, we can build, if it's boreholes that's our problem, we don't have any problem with it. In many of you, you build in the back of your houses. Am I like? So those of us who live near where water table is not too low, we sing this thing every day. It's our life. Our children can sing. The Lord is good. I don't know. I guess I track once in a while when I get to those places. I hate Africans, Nigerians especially, behaving like beggars. As I don't give, they are looking for Bibles. Bibles? Don't you have market? Donate Bible to who? Anybody that can read and write can buy a Bible. Unless the person is not eating. How much is Bible? When people come to me, donate the Bible. There are things I don't donate to people. Like God forbid, but one day somebody came, one of our pastors who came with it. My man came one day, said he wanted to buy one of our books. that his money was not complete, whether... Okay, they say, go and sell your phone. He said, go and sell your phone. You come to me to reduce the price of a book for you. You are carrying a phone. Are you okay? You have a book. Do you understand? You have a phone. You are buying a recharge card on that phone. Then I should reduce the price of book for you. Just to say, okay, tell him to go and sell his phone. Nobody's reducing the price of book for him. Because if you want the truth, you can afford it. The Lord is good. Not just by the way. Africans, we are not poor people. Amen?
Amen.
We are blessed people. Amen?
Amen?
Yes, we are. We have the resources. What we need is to wake up. One of the countries that have the richest mineral resources in the world is Congo. You know that? Congo, you can dig anything from their hills. Copper, magnesium, rare earth that they use for making phones. You find it there. Our problem is not poverty of material things. You know, it's somewhere else. It's in the spirit. It's in the soul. If you get to Congo, there's nothing they don't have in those hills. Is it iron, aluminium, copper, manganese, magnesium? Just be naming it. Dig the hills in Congo. Everything is there. The poverty is not because of absence of material resources. It's not. Let me sit on my message, please. What I'm going to say is that, so when we see people putting energy sometimes, they are putting into the wrong things. And that's why Christians should be careful when they are doing activism. And that's why I don't believe, you Christians, please listen to this. Anywhere you want to go, people are taking, you know, we are raising money to do good works. One of the things that make me laugh these days is when churches now want to start doing good works, they now put it on television. It's AIT that will let you know which church is giving rise to the poor. You've seen it before. One of your big men, Port Harcourt, did it the other day. How this school is free, and the school is free, and one woman was talking, thank God for our papa who gave us free school, otherwise all my children since they will not be able to go to school. You know, I was looking at the woman and saying, it's not your fault now. The man was saying, how can you be, you know, it's wrong. People should not pay when the school is one building the school. And when the church is one building the school, I was looking at the man, one of your big bishops in Port Harcourt. I was looking at him. Thank God that you can't shoot people through WhatsApp. I would have shot that video that day because they sent it to me on WhatsApp. I said, what kind of rubbish is this? And they'll be folded up and down. You see, these are people who are doing good works. I said, rat nonsense. If you're really doing good works, why am I seeing it on AIT? Why is it that it is AIT that is showing it to me? The same person now, go and show me the message he's preaching. Pure lies. No, you know, I thought I was looking at him. And they want to say, you see, why is people like Bishop Oyedepo? That's what they're implying. Charging for university. I said, you are only secondary school and you're opening your mouth. Secondary school, how much do you pay your teachers? Come to university. ASU is on strike now. Do you know why? And whatever government gives ASU, the private university lecturers will collect the same thing. You know, they will build secondary school and give to a few people free. They will now be abusing people who are charging for university. Go and run university. They open your mouth and talk. I thought they provoke Abby. But my own is not foolishness. I know what I'm talking about. This is where I'm going. When I see churches bragging on, they gave out rice and pepper. And, you know, and what do you call it? Grinding machine. For women to start this time, I'll be looking at them. So you think this is the problem of the people? Go and read the story of Jesus Christ. The blind see. He said, go and tell John what you both see and hear. He said, the blind see, the lame walk, the dead are raised. You know what he said about the poor? He said, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Jesus understood that all this one of handing out rice is not the problem. I'm not saying we shouldn't give out rice, but let's not brag on it. The same people handing out rice, there's one funny clown in Lagos. They call him a prophet. All of you know him. I just don't like popularizing foolishness. That's why I stopped mentioning his name. He's one clown in Lagos. In fact, the other day, my wife and I were watching East African television, and one guy was copying him. Be humble. I said, you know, foolishness is a terrible thing. The man is with us. He's talking like that because he can't speak English. That man, look, he was brought up. He didn't go to school. He can't speak English. So when you see that he's quiet talk, he has to recite the things he has memorized. It's not his normal way of talking. Give him his mother tongue. You know, because he's above here. He can talk if you tell him to speak our language on that side. But when he speaks in English, Holy Ghost will do something in your life. Bobo can't speak English. He memorized that thing. So this Bobo from East Africa, you know this, our brethren in Southern Africa, Eastern and Southern Africa, they look at us the way we look at Americans. So they don't see fine church, fine packaging. When the guy go wear some suit, even me, I go, they lick mouth. Boss, this your suit is fine. Your doctrine is a lie, but this your suit is fine. So that man was copying that day. He said, hey, you have to learn to be humble. And you see this guy, he went to school. He can speak English, but he's copying a false prophet. Now, why am I talking about the false prophet? Now, he's giving rice to the poor. You see, man of God is giving. Remember, Lakasera. We drink Lakasera. Thanks to man of God. So people say, he'll be arguing with you. He's a true prophet. You know, anytime people tell me like that, just know you yourself, you don't know what you are saying. I always tell them, quote one line of what he has ever preached that blessed you. Just give me one line. They have nothing to say. Tell me one thing that you have learned. You think prophets are known by handing out rice? Or by giving out word of knowledge by WhatsApp? You know what I mean? Word of knowledge by WhatsApp. My phone is here. My tab is here. I have boys outside. No, sending me information about people. And I'll be reading it out. I said it's word of knowledge. You think a prophet is known by activity of familiar spirits? The primary duty of a prophet, most of the prophets you read in your Bible, they were not there doing miracles. They were there instructing people concerning righteousness. People get carried away. They say, he's a true man of God. He's doing good works that other men of God are not doing. I said, no. The difference is the camera. If I'm doing anything, I will not take a camera there because it's against the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. My good works must be done in secret. The sign that your good works is fake is that you invited AIT. Your TV crew, they were there filming everything. We are here right now building a school for this community. Look, leave that to Shell and MTN. I'm not saying you don't do it, but the publicity, they need it for their corporate image. They call it corporate social responsibility. They have to film it. Federal government must see it. Their bosses in America, in France, wherever it is they are, they must see it. In South Africa, they must see it. They're not doing it for God. They are doing it for publicity. We churches should not copy that. How can church be doing a degree when they are handing? I see us all the time. Oh yes, we thank God. We have been doing it for four years now. The widows come from every part of the country. We give them one bag of rice each, and then we give them wrapper, and then we give them maggi, and then oil. We thank God. This is the fourth year. There are 5,000 widows. It costs us a lot of money on NTA International. You know, I'll be looking. I said, brethren, when did we backslide to this level? We'll be using poor people to get unnecessary public image. No, attention, creating a public image for ourselves. The poor widow, you make her line up under NTA camera. Don't you even feel sorry for her? You broadcast her face. You can't do that if it was America. They will sue you one day. Because you are giving me five rolls of wrapper. They are watching me now all over Nigeria, knowing that I'm poor. You know, God, we get involved in some things. I just say, why are we like this? Jesus will speak to us, we will refuse to believe what he's saying. Why do we behave like this? And that's how we get confounded. One clown will now go and learn it with a few fake prophecies, will now be saying he's a man of God. And people will now be copying him all over Africa. As if it's a Nigerian the export of Nigerian church. I always tell people, watch his congregation. Have you ever seen a face that is alive there? All of them sit like dead wood. He mentions the name of God, they don't move. Holy Ghost will now do something new in your life. Tell your neighbor, something new. Something new. Something new. All the things he has seen other men of God do, he memorized it. No life in the words. What am I saying? Listen. That's not this. Look, Jesus didn't say that will solve people's problems. You can give out rice, give out in secret. Where you should put your energy is what I'm talking about. Church, our energy should be in the preaching of Christ, in the preaching of truth. How can they give us 15 minutes on air and we are showing how we are handing out rice? The problem is our conscience won't let us rest. They have finished criticizing us that we have private jets, we have big car, we are building big houses. So we want to show that we are not that bad. Those 15 minutes you gave us on air, we should have stood there and simply said, Jesus is Lord. There's a judgment to come. Everybody repent of your sins. Then the Holy Spirit will ride. It's not your power to persuade. No, it's not your power to persuade. It's the Holy Spirit riding upon the words of truth into the hearts of people. When we don't understand, just that the one big bishop in Enugu, they gathered the cream de la cream of Nigerian politics because an important person died. And they gave you man of God, pulpit for 40 minutes or 30 minutes. And you are there preaching politics. I was embarrassed. That you politicians, you don't want to retire. You should retire. You should retire. Retirement is the age of 70. All of you should retire. You are recycling yourself. You are recycling yourself. And I was looking and I said, Jesus, you are a preacher of the gospel. They gathered former heads of states, sitting governors, former governors, sitting senators, former senators, local government chairmen. They gathered them in their hundreds and they gave you the pulpit. And you are here talking politics. That Buhari is too old. He should go home. How old is Buhari? Donald Trump that's making the whole world quiver. He's the oldest man that has ever been sworn in for the first time into American office. As American president. Was it Malaysia the other day that went and pulled out because the country was in trouble? They pulled back a 93-year-old man. Said, please, we don't know how to handle this country. We trust you. The man came back, he was 93 or so. Give a man of God 40 minutes thereabout when the rulers were seated. You couldn't call them to the word of God. You know the problem? We don't believe this is our Jesus. That's the problem. We don't believe him. We don't believe him. You are too old. You should go home. Retirement is 70. Everybody should retire at 70. And I would just look and say, Jesus, what is going on here? Well, look, the gospel is a light. If you believe it, you will preach it. The problem is that a lot of times we don't believe it. Just so you know, if they give you that kind of opportunity, you don't have to preach a hot word. I'm like hot, like don't decode deep revelation, you know. When the Bible says darkness was upon the surface of the deep, the Greek word was dakenozo. I don't want that one. Simple. Say, people, Jesus is a savior. He's a Lord. He's the King. All of us will stand before his judgment throne one day. Whatever you are doing today, one day you will give account. But there is forgiveness in his blood. If you repent today and give your... Preach it simply. Repeat what I have said for 40 minutes. And let the Holy Spirit walk. But you think you can persuade dead men to walk? By argument, you can't. Like I say humorously, Lazarus was motivated for 4 days. Did he get up? And after Lazarus died, you know, they gathered motivational speakers. 4 days. You don't know? They were all there. John Mason, Anthony Robbins. They gathered them around Lazarus. This man has died. Motivate him to walk again. You're looking at me like you don't believe me. He said, okay, how did they do it? Think about it. What did they do to dead people? You can't go. You can't go. How can you go? Is that not motivational speaking? Your sisters need you. You have been the pillar of this family. Lazarus, no! Lazarus, no! What is that? Motivational speaking. Isn't they shouted his name? It was motivation. You've not been there when somebody... Okay, you've not been there. I have been there many times when people died. You see real motivation. I've been there a number of times because of my natural profession. As soon as they sign that, you are there, resuscitating. Releases are outside. When they see you walk out with your face down, they know the person has died. They will rush past you inside the place. Shake the man. Get up. Ah, Baba, you can't go. I've never seen them answer. The person will be shaking. They motivated Lazarus for how many days? 4 days. Did he get up? No. Jesus came, did not discuss with him. He spoke life. Lazarus, come forth. Because his words had life, Lazarus got up and found himself at the door. You can't motivate dead people to walk. This is life. People are dead. You want them to walk, you preach the gospel to them. I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. They give you the pulpit to speak to people. Don't come there and be giving them common sense. You think common sense works? The reason why countries are down is not because they don't like natural sense. I was saying yesterday, look, gather this our night. Go to the United States. They are the most educated set of people. The real thing is that there is no life. So no matter the education you have, except there is life, there is nothing it will do. And that's why when Christians gather to do any project, you want to help a community. If the gospel is not in it, don't waste too much of your money. You can build covert. Good. I'm not saying you shouldn't build covert. Build a school that's collapsing. But don't be impressed with yourself. Be impressed when you spend energy to deliver the word to the people. Build all the schools. The man who stands there for 15 minutes and says, Jesus is Lord, he wants to save you, he wants to help you, has done more work for that community. We're talking about anger lying in the bosom of fools. When we don't understand it, we'll be getting angry that, you know, the problem we have is lack of infrastructure. Problem we have, we invest money in things that don't change lives. The primary thing that changes people is the truth of the gospel. And that is why, let me say it again, I don't know why I'm sitting on it. Churches that are doing social work, listen, God will punish all of you except you purify your doctrine first. Because you are replacing Jesus. It's an antichrist spirit. Antichrist is known. Because how else will he be popular if he doesn't do those social works? Go and read the story of Hitler. Hitler took the whole of Germany the way he did because he turned around the economy in a few years. They say if Hitler had just managed to die in 1939, he would have been a hero eternally celebrated in Germany for what he did in the economy. The way he brought pride to the heart, back to the heart of the German. If only he had died in 1939, that man would have been celebrated forever. But after 39, of course, 39, started the war. By the time he finished his atrocities over the next few years, now you can't even joke with his name. It's so politically incorrect everywhere in the world. Go and tell Twitter that your name, just jokingly call your Twitter handle Adolf Hitler. They will shut you down. That is why, listen, this antichrist spirit churches are getting into, doing social work without preaching the truth. The same people will come to their pulpit, lie, tell lies to raise money, then use the same money to go and build schools and say it is free. Jesus said, I will send somebody to hell for you. I will soon start punishing people. The same people you gave free schools, when they got to your church, what did they hear? Today, for the sins of 3 generations, you will bring a special sacrifice. And you will say, God, with this sacrifice, kill my enemy. With this sacrifice, do them bad things. With this sacrifice, all of them will die. After building them schools, of course, they will believe you come to your church, you tell them that kind of truth, God is giving you a short while. Next time, you try that nonsense, he kills you. It's an antichrist spirit. We start offering people, you know, good works without the gospel of Jesus. We start explaining, you know, it will make it look like what we need. And that's, look, Christians, I don't believe in social crusading. I can't believe in social crusading. Not because of any other thing than I know where the real problem is. The real problem is the darkness in the hearts of people. The real problem is called sin. It's called iniquity. The real problem is something deep inside the spirits of people that until you change that, you can't help them outside. Churches can do anything. Do free healthcare, do, but please, the center of it must be Jesus. You can use all those things to gather. When they gather, they say, please, brethren, it's not food.
this food. He said, Jesus said, don't labor for the food that lasts for just a while. Labor for the one that endures to eternal life. Those that Jesus fed, listen, they had been with him learning the gospel for days. Then they became hungry. That's the real problem the society has. Listen to this. As people of God, we must believe this gospel of Jesus. It's a simple gospel. We are sinners. We are all headed for destruction. The wrath of God is our due. But the mercy of God was sent in Jesus Christ. And if anyone would believe in that sacrifice of Jesus, he will be saved. He will be saved from the judgment to come. And his heart, her heart, the spirit will be changed. The person will become alive, able to receive the inflow of the life of God into himself, into herself, and becomes a new person. If anyone is in Christ, that fellow becomes what? A new creature. All things will pass away. That is the gospel. It's not that. It's not more difficult than that. We just need to believe it and preach it. We just need to believe it and preach it. If you find the sick, tell him that story I've just told. If you find the poor, tell that story. If you find the confused, tell that story. No Shiloh, that's a covenant, sorry, winners, is on right now, Abby. They should be finishing on today or tomorrow. My wife and I watched about 2 nights ago. We were watching it on TV. And Bishop was telling one beautiful story. The theme for this year's one is dominion. I was talking about dominion. Now, please, try and follow what I'm going to say. And he told the story of a man who was in his house, and armed robbers came in. Robbers attacked the home, and they were robbing them, except that before then, he was watching a teaching on TV. So one of the robbers entered and saw the television still playing, so he stood and watched it. He removed his mask. They were masked, so he removed his mask to see the television properly. He forgot to rob. He paid attention. After some time, he told the other boys to bring back the things they have stolen. They should keep it there. And he begged the owner of the house, can I take this tape? Of course, he's begging. What will you do? The man that refused to shoot you, you give him. Carry the television, carry the video player, everything. That one gave him the tape. He went home. Next day, he came back to that house again. He said, good evening, sir. I'm the armed robber that came here yesterday. Please, that cassette you gave me, do you have other ones, please? That man gave him other ones. He went home to go and watch them. Make a long story short. That was how he repented, gave his life to Christ. And Bishop, as he was preaching, he said, that man is in church today. He didn't point him out. He said, but he's inside this church now. So Bishop was saying, this is dominion. I told my wife, I agree with him 100%. Of course, I believe that story 100%. But I pointed something out. I said, you see what he has described? I said, that's how the power of God works. I said, that's how the word of God works. It's not the ability to persuade. It's not how eloquent you are in your persuasion. It's that the word, if you will preach it truly, that is what it does. I said, this word of God, if we preach it truly, this is what it does. It changes people. It heals the sick. It does all kinds of miracles. One of our brothers gave me a testimony. I've told him to write it down. I've not seen him for a while. I'll tell him, look, Frank, write this testimony. He was just sharing with me. He's one of our, he's a doctor. You know all these hemorrhagic fevers. But anyway, you've heard of Ebola. Ebola is a senior brother. He's the most senior of all of them. But there's one that's common with us, Lassa fever. Lassa fever is endemic in Nigeria. Lassa fever, was it this year? Yes, it really ravaged the health community. Most people of the people that we know that it killed this year were doctors and nurses, mostly doctors. Because the patients come to hospital, you just think it could just be malaria. So you handle the malaria patient, then he gives you Lassa fever. And Lassa fever can be deadly. And a lot of people, it will come and go, you won't even know it came. In a small proportion, it brings down serious illnesses and kills a huge number of those small proportions. So, this particular year, I think this year, or is this year, earlier this year, it really attacked, it killed a lot of doctors. Killed some of my former students, killed in Abakaliki, killed in Delta, in Lokoja, here and there. Most people that we heard that they killed were not patients, but doctors. But one of the doctors they killed in Abakaliki, he operated on the patient. Thought the patient had tonsillitis or something.
After the operation, he became sick and he died. From Lassa fever, he got from his patient. Now, this is our brother. He was walking and he got Lassa fever. He was very sick. They brought him down to ENTH. Now, I'm talking about how the word works. But I think that was when he encountered Kingdom World Ministries. I'm not very sure now. But he was very, you know, when those viruses want to kill. Remember the Ebola? Yeah, they're all in the same group. This man was seriously sick. They put him in isolation ward in UNTH. Doctors were nursing, they were taking care of him. Nurses were working on him around the clock. His blood pressure was perpetually down. If you know anything about blood pressure was reading something like 50 over 0, 70 over 30, always down. There was nothing they could do to build it up. They did everything medically speaking. At that time, he had bled into his skin all over his back. His back had peeled, had many sores everywhere. This guy is a doctor himself. How am I telling the story? The day he told me the story, I opened my mouth. He said, then his cousin came and visited and gave him a phone with the memory card loaded with messages that I preached. So he just put it beside him and he started listening to the word. Of course, the doctors, they know that we've done all we can do. Let's see what will happen to this young man. He said, he kept on listening to the word, kept on listening to the word. Then one day he called one of the doctors and said, I'm leaving here on Friday. And that one started laughing. I'm just imagining in his mind, he said, are we burying you on Friday or which one are you talking about? He said, just that one, that I'm leaving on Friday. This was like Monday or Tuesday. He said, I'm leaving on Friday. I don't look like that. Is that a joke? So why did he say that? He had listened to the word, like my wife and I were discussing yesterday. I said, if you pay attention to God's word, there's something he does in you, you don't even know. I said, he gives you the boldness to do things. He gives you the boldness to do right. He gives you the boldness to walk above sin. Listen to this. He makes you walk in the will of God when you don't even know there is a will of God. That's why I wrote the book, Guided by the Spirit. Please read it. You can download it from our website or get a physical copy. Guided by the Spirit. Please, I'm begging you, read that book at least 3-4 times. And soak in what I was saying inside that book. If the word of God enters you, it changes the way you reason. It's that new reasoning that's called the will of God. It's not that I wasn't, my spirit said to me, my spirit, I pray. Let your spirit be quiet. I heard something in my spirit. That one, you can hear anything you like. Depends on what you ate yesterday. You can't hear anything. When we talk about your spirit speaking to you, it's when the word of God has soaked inside you. It creates new ideas, new thought processes for you. That's what the word does. This man, after he listened and listened, of course, he had nothing else to do. He was sick. He was half dead. Half of the time, he's not even conscious. So all he could do was just pay attention to the word. Then he opened his eyes when they called the doctor, said, I'm leaving here on Friday. The doctor said, this must be a joke. I think this was Tuesday or so, early in the week. He said, the next day the doctor came, turned him over. The doctor shouted. Do you know why? All the sores on his back had healed. Let's make a long story short. Of course, by Thursday, he was walking around. On Friday, they discharged him. I told him, I'm leaving here on Friday. I started joking with him. I said, this boy, better go around donating blood to cure Lassa fever because there's what we call antibodies, you know. I said, his system must be full of the immunity. Good enough, the profession is the specialty is working now. They go around chasing Lassa fever all over the country. Last time I spoke, he said, he was telling me the outbreak that was somewhere around there towards Sokoto Axis, how they went there to go and help. I said, that's where you should be, chasing Lassa fever. Why did I tell the story? It was the word working. Are you getting my point? The word has power. Oh God, I wish you understand it. It has power in itself. Faith is not a joke. The problem we have in life is that we are not dedicated to it. One of the scriptures I like explaining these days is that Luke chapter 16. When Jesus said that, when he commended the unrighteous servant, that he acted shrewdly. No, you are going to get confused if you don't read it well as to what was Jesus saying. Was the Lord Jesus saying that we should start telling lies and start stealing people's money? No, that's not what he was saying. I'm going to go into details, but this is a summary. Jesus was saying that, you see that unrighteous steward? He has acted well in line with all he understands. He's an unbeliever. He's a crooked politician. So no matter the law you put down, he will find a way around it and steal. Why? Remember what that man said? I'm too old to beg, to dig, and to dig, to beg, I'm ashamed. So what will I do? I will steal. Many of the politicians you are angry with, some of them have done nothing else ever since they got that first appointment as local government councillor at the age of 29. They have done nothing else. There was one of our gubernatorial candidates somewhere, I will not mention, the other day, they were arguing that he didn't do NYC. Why didn't he do NYC? I think as he was graduating from law school, he became an elected official. He has done nothing else. So if you're not telling him now he cannot contest again because he didn't do NYC in that story, what will he eat? To dig. He's too old now. Will you employ him? To beg, he's ashamed. He used to be a big man. If he did not know God and he did not believe in righteousness, you are not righteous. You are not too righteous. You will also steal. No, it's not. No, think about it. What will he do? He will stack the money in all kinds of currencies, build a bunker for it and lock it up and bury it. Anytime he's broke, he will open the grave. Bring up. Yeah. And that was what Jesus commended. And said, you see, these guys understand that this is the only way forward. He said, what about the sons of light? Ah. The sons of light, they have been delivered the truth. The truth has been delivered to them. But let them follow it with aggression. The way the sons of darkness, the sons of this age, follow their own thing. That is where I have a problem, Jesus was saying. He wasn't saying we should steal. After all, he said, he that is faithful in little is the one that is faithful in much. The one that's unrighteous in little is unrighteous also in much. He said, if you have not been faithful in that which belongs to somebody else, who will give you your own? So Jesus was not saying we should be unfaithful. He was just saying the way people who don't know God are dedicated to their own crooked ways. I want the people of light to use the same aggression and force to be dedicated. After all, the kingdom of God suffers violence. It suffers violence. And the violent take it by force. They are not aggressive in taking the kingdom. That's where the problem is. This faith is real. If we pay attention to this word, it works. It changes people. And if we believe it, it's the first thing we present to people, not bags of rice. I mean, you are gathering the poor. You are gathering widows Christmas time. Use rice to invite them. It is good. Use free wrapper to invite them. It is good. But let everybody know before you collect the wrapper, you will hear the gospel. And you sit down there and teach them the word. And please, let's not see you handing out rice or wrapper to anybody on television. Show us that part in which the word was being taught. If they report it for 10 minutes, let 9 minutes of it concentrate on what was said. Teach the people to pray through prayers. Teach them to repent of their sins. Teach them to give thanks to the Almighty God. Teach them the gospel of Jesus, how to believe in him and walk according to the faith in him. And when the camera is not looking and they are going, hand everybody their bags of rice, let them go home. That is what faith does. And I'm saying again today, listen to me. If we pay attention to the gospel, listen to this. It heals the sick. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
It heals the sick.
Amen.
It raises the dead.
Amen.
Do you know it even raises dead businesses?
Yes.
It does. It raises even businesses that are dead. It gives jobs to people who are looking for jobs. It gives ideas to those who need to go out and pursue certain ideas. One brother told me the other day, I love his testimony. How it gave him a scholarship. He wanted to travel abroad and go and study. He's an engineer, a university lecturer. He tried everything. He said one day, he heard something that I preached. He decided to follow it. He stopped pursuing aggressively those things. I said, God, what is the assignment for each season? He said, he heard me say that each season of life has an assignment. And until you fulfill the assignment for that season, you can't move to the next. So he prayed, he said, God, what is my assignment for this season? And he said, my assignment is a young people. He's a young man too, but of course, he has people younger than him. He's a young lecturer. So my assignment for this season is to focus on the young people I have in the school, university where I teach, and in my church where I'm in the youth church, where I'm one of the leaders there. So he poured his energy into those young people, teaching them, mentoring them, helping them. He said even his own father told him that he had lost focus, he had lost direction, he has lost his drive that he used to have. Told his father, don't worry, I'm serving Jesus Christ. In due season, he knows what he'll do for my life. 2 years. That's what he did, 2 years. He was doing his work. Then one day, he got a mail that he should come attend an online interview, Skype. He intervened for a few minutes. He said, I don't know how well I did because I was not prepared. It was not even the field I had prepared for before. It was another slightly different field. So next thing, he got an email that awarded him the scholarship, paid for by European Union, to go and do a PhD in robotics. Fully paid. The day he sent the email, we published in one of our distance, yes. The day he sent the email, he said he had just arrived in Israel, where he's supposed to do the work. We were just settling down, so he fired the email. So we sent him a mail and said, please, can we publish this testimony? He said, no problem. We just removed his name and published it. If you get to one of our past editions, you'll read it in there. He said, Jesus surprised me. He didn't have to know anybody. The word produced something in his life. Faith is not a joke. It's not something we use on Sunday and then Monday we forget it. It affects the way we work. I remember those days when I started teaching. And that first year I was awarded one of the honors by the dean. Then that time, they used to do it in my faculty. Gave me two of them. We had four. I got two. There's what they call best lecturer series in four categories. I collected two. The one I enjoyed most is in delivering well understood lectures. I got that one. I liked that one. Pocketed it. Now where I'm going, faith. When I got the award, presented at one of our swearing in, I laughed. I said, this is not fair. You know what I said? It's not fair. I said, this is not a competition. For me, this is a gift of God. How you want to defeat me? I don't know. But this is where I'm going. What people won't realize that those days when I want to go to class, I actually used to pray. Father, I'm going to lecture this morning. In the name of Jesus, let me be a blessing. You know, everybody has a besetting sin. My besetting sin often is impatience. So I say, Lord, give me patience to handle these young people today. In the name of Jesus. As I step into class this morning, Holy Spirit is upon me. He's helping me. I used to do that. I still remember doing it as I'm walking towards the class. Maybe the previous week, they really upset me. And I say, Banke, look, it's not them. You are too impatient. So I'm going to class and praying. Several times, I remember, you know what they call spiritual manifestations? It's happened to me many times in the academic world. Many times. Both when I was a student and when I began to teach. As a student, I can tell you stories. How I slept and dreamt of a question. That is, we're going for postgraduate exams in West African College of Physicians. I was going to Ibadan. I slept and dreamt that I went late for the exam. I entered the place and this question was given to me and I read question number one and I saw the major topic it came under. 2, 3, don't mind those angels, they blanked the other three out. There were four questions, answer all. 2, 3, 4, I couldn't see it. So I called for another question paper. They gave me the next one. I saw the question number one again. 2, 3, 4, I couldn't see it. As I was about to call for the third one, I woke up. So I said, all right. I thought it was a joke. Let's make a long story short. It really happened the day of the exam. As I was going for the exam, after we did our MCQ in the morning, multiple choice, afternoon was the essay. As I was going, I saw an old classmate from secondary school or HSC. And so we gisted for some time. How are you doing now? He said, he has a first degree, but just came back to UCA to study medicine. Okay, I came for my postgraduate exam. We know, talk. And I always had a habit from university days. I don't go to exam until, if the exam is 9, I get there 5 minutes to 9. It's a habit I developed long ago. It's if the exam is 9, I walk in 5 minutes to 9. So this one, because that's how close I cut it also. So that small interruption on the way made sure I got in late. Do you understand my point? I was going to get there just a few minutes before that night, I think it was 2 o'clock or 1 o'clock thereabout. Because of that interruption, I got in a few minutes afterwards. So everybody had settled down. They had some of their scripts with them. So I sat down and had to call for my own script. Sorry, I'm late. So they came and gave me my script. And of course, as soon as I flipped the question, that it might fulfill that which was revealed by the Lord. That was what happened. All my colleagues who I told them in my office about the dream, he was sitting on my left. As soon as we open, you may start to open the questions like this. He looked up and turned to me and opened his mouth. I looked at him and said, "Bros, now so we see him." And the Lord had helped me. I specially prepared for that. Look, I can give you testimonies again and again. That's just one. This was postgraduate. Undergraduate, plenty. I have like two dramatic ones I can share with you. How I prayed my finals in surgery. I prayed, I said, "God, I don't want this lecturer, one professor, but he's a very hard man. And I don't want this particular case for our long case, clinical case." And the Holy Spirit asked me, of course, you now find out later it was the Holy Spirit, but then it was a thought in my mind. Is it the lecturer you don't want? Or you want to pass? I said, "Lord, it is pass now." He said, "Then stop that request." I said, "Okay, Lord, I'm sorry. I just want to do well tomorrow." All right? As I was about to leave, I said, "Lord, you know, I don't like that case, so." Then that thing went again. Is it the case you don't like? Or you want to pass? And I said, "Okay, Lord, I'm sorry. Actually, I just want to do well. It's not about the case." I walked in that day. Let's make a long story short. You know what I got? That case I did not want. And that very lecturer I did not want. And you know the truth? The moment I saw the matter, I knew it was God. I knew he was there yesterday. He was listening. Because at the end, that same man said, "Good boy, that's my boy." Because all the while there were two. He was quiet, he was the more senior person. He was quiet all the while. The younger lecturer was asking all the questions. Then, just before I left, he opened his mouth and said, "I want to ask you one simple question." And I said in my heart, "Thou art ensnared by the words of thy mouth. You said simple, it must be simple." And he asked the question. As soon as he asked the question, I just knew the answer he wanted. So I gave him three answers and I reserved that one as number three. I gave him the first one, gave him the second one. The third one, I dropped it. He said, "Good boy, good boy." Faith is not a joke. I was telling you about teaching. I just sat in my office. I was going to go for a lecture. So there was a book, a postgraduate book I came from Lagos to Enugu. I was just in the office. I said, something just made me pick up the book, flipped up a page, and I was reading. And I read it. Even though I was a specialist, I had learned these things. You don't know everything. So something that I did not know, that I was supposed to know, was what I just read. I said, "Okay, this is what this thing really means." So I didn't even realize it before. I finished reading the book and I dropped it. And I went to class. It had nothing to do with my lecture. It was not the subject. It was just something else. And I entered the class. I gave my lecture for about an hour, 2 hours. And I still remember one guy, Daniel. He stood up. "I have a question, sir." No, boys who decide that I was a new lecturer, so they want to test the lecturer. You know, some wicked students, some of you were like that. You want to show the, they want to know whether this lecturer, a notebook or a notebook. I didn't know the boys had planned. So he got up and asked the question. And you know the question he asked? The one I just read, just before, maybe 30 minutes before I left my office, to come to his class to give a lecture. And the Holy Spirit knew that, "Banky, some boys are waiting for you there. Let me prepare you so that all your enemies can fall down." So as soon as he asked the question, I just did like small thing. I have a habit, I don't carry paper when I go to class. I teach off head. I just went to the board, you know, like in your mind, we can't so, but... You know, the Lord has prepared me. My enemies do not rejoice over me. You know, all those scriptures, I just, in my mind, I was smiling. On the surface, I just calm, just went, drew a structure, did this, explained it. I talked and talked and talked. I said, "Do you understand?" He said, "Yes, sir." He sat down. In my mind, "Waka, you're not serious. You don't know the Lord is on my side." after that week, I earned my respect. So after that, "Good morning, sir. Twale, are you getting my voice?" No, faith is real. It's real. We're not joking about it. We're not joking. In fact, when I was praying this morning, just now we're praying, I said, "Lord, do something for people today." One of the things I asked the Lord for is, after today, listen to me, you're a businessman, you're watching the economy, you're watching things. Listen, there's what they call visions and revelations. Paul said, "Now let me come to visions and revelations." Visions and revelation was what made Daniel in Babylon. Visions and revelation was what made Joseph in Egypt. And I am convinced, in this season, there will be a release of that spirit of visions and revelations into the hearts and minds of the people of God. Now receive it now in the name of Jesus. Don't be struggling like unbelievers. No, enough of struggling like unbelievers. Your kids will be like that of Joseph. You just look. The world will be shouting, you know, global warming, as they are making all their noise. God will just say that, don't mind them. In the next 5 years, see those this noise they are making about alternative power, they will stop. Then after that, this will start. Then this one will happen. So you know what I want you to do? Strategize like this, but be ready. In 5 years' time, this market will change. You will know it. You will be sure of it. Then they will tell you, don't reveal this to anybody. Be quiet about it. Then you start doing things your friends will think you are crazy. You will invest in a business that will never work. So I know what I'm doing. You will buy land in places that people thought nothing would come out of. You know what you are doing. The Lord has told you, in 5 years, this will happen. Listen. It is forbidden for Christians to struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle and enter into financial abundance. It's forbidden. This is the law of God. By the grace of God, I am what I am. See, God does not take vainglory. You know what they call vainglory? No, he doesn't steal. What I mean by steal is this. I will struggle. I will succeed. I will now say, praise the Lord. God said, what kind of rubbish be that? Say, praise Esau. It's good like that. Praise yourself. You know, Esau was a man of energy. It's your energy. Don't give me glory that does not belong to me. If you want to give me glory in that situation, say, I struggle hard. I want to thank God this morning that I did not die. God said, do it like that. I'm not quarreling with you. But that you will enter into financial abundance by your energy. You will now say, it is God. God said, I beg, I don't want. When I want to take my glory, it's because it's my work. When I said that I delivered the people of Israel by a mighty hand, Moses went, by a mighty hand, the people were delivered. Yosef, according to God, you saw it. What did Moses do? Nothing. He just go. Thus says the Lord. No, like I always say, he didn't even used to say it. He used to whisper it. Aaron is the one that opened his mouth. Pharaoh, thus says the Lord. That's Moses. Let my people go. And Moses is just standing like that with a rod in his hand. Who is this God that I should let his people go? We are warning you. Then they will leave. Moses will bend down, take dust, cast into the air. Is that work? It's not work now. Just take dust, throw into the air. It will turn to insects. Go around biting people. He will go to the Nile. Just dip his rod inside there. Frogs will come out. The place will turn to blood. That was no work. He put Pharaoh under pressure until one day he said, I will kill your firstborn. And he went home and sacrificed with his people. And the angel of God went and delivered the people by killing the firstborn of Pharaoh. Now, this is the interesting part. What did Moses do that you can call work? So if Moses said that God delivered his people, he wasn't being humble. He was being truthful. I don't know whether I get my point. If Moses would tell you God delivered his people, it was not humility, it was truth. He said, he delivered his people. Even when the Red Sea, we checked all the pump to pump water out of the Red Sea. It would have taken us like 200, maybe 2,000 years. Except that even the pumps had not been invented. So how did they get it out? It was hard work that day, but not like the thing that produced, not like the result that was produced. I went there, took my rod, spread it over the sea. I had to be there for some time, but that's all I did. Kept my rod up. So, a wind came, blew hard against the waters, and split the water, and we passed through on dry land. When Moses would tell you that God passed his people through the Red Sea, it was not humility, it was truth. I hope you get what I'm saying. That is, in your life, God says, I want to take proper glory, not Christian habitual glory. Are you getting my point? Listen, then let's just give up glory for everything. Meanwhile, now you struggle, you lie, you join PDP, join APC, you decamp up and down. After 15 years, You finally won councillor seat. You have been in APC, PDP, AA, SDP. Which one is YPP? You've been in everything. After 15 years, you finally make a local government councillor. And I say, praise the Lord. God say, hi. Now, wow, here's my praise. You shared it with Abubakar Atiku, Muhammadu Buhari. What's the name of that APC chairman again? Adams Oshiemole. All of them shared the praise. This is what I'm trying to say. In your life, God will do something that you are not trying to be humble. You will know that it is Him. I hope you're getting my point. That you will be convinced. You know, say, no, it could not have been me. Why? I operated by visions and revelations. Sometimes there's no vision, there's no revelation. Something will just happen and you will know it is God. I feel very strongly, Christians are about to start working in that again. Amen. Let me tell you one major reason why we have not been working in it. It's our offering. You say, how is your offering? I'm telling you. You have been having too much hope in your offering. As I planted my seed, I said to that seed, bring me prosperity. Now God vexed, close the door. He said, because if I prosper this boy now, the story no go finish. The power of the seed. Brethren, I'm a product of seed. I heard one woman say that. I laughed. Said, today I'm about to take a special seed. I know it works. I'm a product of seed. I said, you're not the product of Jesus Christ. You're not the product of grace. You're a product of seed. If God punish you now, wouldn't you know He's justified? One man opened his mouth and said, if God comes now, God appears to me and says, seed does not work. I'll tell him he does not know what he's saying. Yes. If I mention the name of the man who said it, you will know. If I saw a branch of his church along one of these roads, I won't tell you which road. Anyway, good enough, I don't know Port Harcourt, so I'm confused when I get to this city. I told my wife, I said, see, oh, this church, they here. The man said, if God appears to me and says that seed does not work, I'll tell him he doesn't know what he's saying. But I know it works. Listen to me. That is why God has closed the door on many of his children. He said, until he can give me my proper glory, I'm not opening that door. Because I'm going to do something for them. They'll say, I planted the seed. God said, oh, Barry. He planted the seed. They can't even find the soil. He planted the seed. Like I say all the time, Christians are givers. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Do you know why we give? Because we are like God. We are like our Father, God. He is good. Therefore, He has placed His goodness in us. Another reason we give is because we truly believe the truth of the gospel. Do you get my point? We truly believe it. When we have medicine, if you hear somebody is sick, maybe a relative, and you just hear, say, I don't want to cure this fellow, and you have money to buy the drug, you buy it and send to the person. It's a sign of your faith and love for that individual. That's why we Christians give. When we spend money on the gospel, that is why. We say this is the truth. Our nation needs it. Our people need it. We are faithful. Christians are faithful people. True Christians, they are faithful. They are faithful. They are servants of the Almighty God. People say that we are sons, we are not servants. It's not true. They are not mutually exclusive titles. Do you hear what I said? It's not as if you're either a son or a servant. You can be a son that serves. And every true child of God must be a son that serves. Otherwise, you're automatically a prodigal son. So we are faithful servants. We are faithful stewards of God's resources. But we never, ever open our mouths or even secretly in our hearts say, the reason why I'm prospering is because I sowed seed. No. The reason why I'm prospering is because Jesus died for me on the cross. The reason why I'm prospering is that God wants to show His glory in my life. The reason why I'm prospering is because I am His child and He loves me. The reason why I'm prospering is that, like Isaiah said, the Lord has sent me and His Spirit is also the reason why I'm prospering. That is, if He gave me an assignment, He said, God is able to make grace, all grace abound towards you, that you having all sufficiency in all things, we are bound to every good work. That is, if good works will be done, I have to abound. That's why I prosper. When I say all of these things, I'm giving God His proper glory. There are two ways Christians work. Don't ever forget this. There is a sonship work and there is a servant work. Two of them we must walk in them. What is the sonship walk? Everything that Jesus paid for on the cross is mine. That's the sonship walk. All my needs are met by faith. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's the sonship walk. Do I walk in the valley of the shadow of death? I will fear no evil. That's the sonship walk. By the stripes of Jesus, I have been healed. That's the sonship walk. Every blessing, I've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's the sonship walk. That is the sonship walk. What's that of a servant? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to do these things. Occupy with this until I come. Blessed is that servant whose master finds faithful. Can you see that now?
Yeah.
So the servant says that Jesus said that which one of you have a servant who will go out and go and work and he will come and sit down and say, Master, I have done work today. Now you come and serve me. He said, nobody does that. But you know, that's what we are taught as Christians to do. After we have given, he said, God, come and repay. No, true bond servants of God, they don't behave like that. He said, what do they do? They come home. They ask the master, is there any other thing we're supposed to do? He said, now go and serve me. Then after they have worked all day, they still come home and serve the master. That's how servants reason. And Christians must learn to walk both ways. One, as a son, and two, as a bond servant. Interestingly, read your scriptures. Paul never, ever described himself as a son of God. Oh, it's something Paul didn't used to do. Check every introduction. Paul, a bond servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I like that title in Titus. The proper word actually is slave. Just as when we use slave in modern day, it connotes a negative, you know, harsh master, you know. So that's why I like to use the word bond servant. Paul said, Paul, a bond servant of God, and proper word, messenger of Jesus. Because when we say apostle, it has honor attached to it. Say, let's welcome apostle, you know, Benson. Hey, everybody clap. And you expect someone to carry your Bible. And you hold one staff of Moses and come forward. That's the problem. That's how we reason about apostleship. So that's why I like to use the proper word, messenger. What Paul said is, I'm a bond servant of God and a messenger of Jesus Christ. That was how he introduced himself every single time. I know what I'm going to say. If Christians understand this, they will see visions, revelations, grace working in their lives. That was why Paul experienced grace. Because he understood that, listen, I am not a joker. I'm not here to chop life. I am on assignment from God. I need to explain that again. The attitude that Paul had towards life is that I am on assignment. God sent me on an errand. I am supposed to do something. I'm not here to eat. I'm not here to drink. I'm here to work. The food and drink I get is just like I work in an office and they serve us lunch. It is not because they say, come to the office to eat. Why do they give lunch? So we can work. So we don't have to run up and down. Because if we want to go and look for food, we would break the transmission of work. So they give us food to keep us sustained. Occasionally they add things to it to make it interesting. They organize end of year party in the office. We have drinks, but the office exists for us to work. The same manner we Christians are on assignment from God. We have not been sent to life to go and enjoy. We have been sent to life to go and do something. And listen to me, that is the attitude believers are supposed to have towards their nation. So it's a very irresponsible attitude for somebody to say, this country, I don't know what's going on, I'm going away. I don't know what I hear what I'm trying to say. That this God planted me somewhere. I say, I don't like the way Wike and Co are doing. Buhari and Osibajo. How they are running this country, I don't understand at all. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to where my children can buy wee-wee free of charge. That's Canada. Why? Because this country, you know, there's a way you talk. Even God will deny you. Yes. No, just imagine a soldier. You dress him up. Are you getting my point? In the day of battle, you dress him up. You give him a gun. Then he's going, he reaches the road.
Okay? They didn't tar this road. So what did you say? This road is not smooth. We entered our truck, our pickup, and it was bouncy. I almost fell out. And the man is thinking, all the years of training I gave you, what did you think is also? To go to Tahiti with your wife? You're a soldier. I don't want to hear that nonsense. Let me tell you how bad it is in the army. During war. Sometimes you don't remove your boot for days. One of the major problems, medical problems in the military is athlete's foot. What do they call athlete's foot? Fungus growing in their toes and their feet, soles of their feet. Because there are times that you wear that boot literally for days. I don't need to tell you, if your boot is on for days, you also have not had your bath for days. So Paul wrote to Timothy, endure hardship as a true soldier of Christ. You now see people that say, God said, go and transform the society. They are saying the road is not good. And you know, there are things you say, God doesn't even know how to answer you. So on that matter, the Lord Jesus will say, Gabriel, say, yes, Lord, talk to this boy, because if I answer him myself. So Gabriel will now come and say, my brother, you're a messenger of Christ. Calm down, relax. We're talking to you, because if Jesus answers you himself, you won't like yourself. Just by the way, I always like to digress more. Jesus is not the nice guy they have painted him for us. He's not. Some of these gospels we preach, we don't know where. I don't know where people got it from. They paint Jesus. If you listen to my brother, let me not mention his name. I have two or three brothers like that in the gospel. When they finish describing Jesus, I'll be wondering, which Jesus are you talking about? Say, God is not the one punishing you. He doesn't punish people. It's Satan. It's the devil. I said, I don't know the God you serve. Peter said, he told us to solemnly testify that he is the judge of the living and the dead. John said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as one dead. He said to that church, he said, go and warn that woman, Jezebel. He said, if she does not repent, I will throw her on the bed of affliction and I will strike her children dead. One day, one of our brothers said, Jesus never did that. I quoted that scripture. I said, does that qualify? This Jesus is not the nice guy you think he is. He's a savior. I said this one jokingly. This one's not full truth, but it's a joke. But there's a lot of truth in it. I said, the smiling Jesus died on the cross. The one that rose up, when he shows up, mountains melt like wax. The one that rose up, the fire that comes from him consumes his enemies. If I say this, you'll be surprised some people. I was reading the scriptures. If you know the people Jesus called his enemies, I don't want to go into it now. They were church members. I found out reading my Bible, everybody that Paul dealt harshly with were Christians. When he said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm, I used to think he was an unbeliever. I found out later, no, he was a church member. He said, may God repay him according to his works. He talked about Hymenaeus and what's the other guy? Eh? No, not Demas. Hymenaeus, and there are two people he mentioned like that. He said, those ones, I have handed them over to Satan. They were church members. The people that Paul dealt harshly with, all the unbelievers, he didn't talk about them. People now come and preach to me as if Jesus is nice. Even if you slap him, he'll turn the other cheek. Whoop. If the Muslim slaps Jesus, he turns the other cheek. If the Christian does, he beheads him. Say, we'll settle this matter when you get to heaven. Listen, one of the assignments I have now is to tell people to fear God. They don't fear him. They make you look like Jesus is always defending you. They even said that even if you deny him and say he's not the Son of God, I did not rise up from the dead, you say, Pele, your salvation is intact. This man said, even if a Christian lives with all practical purposes as an unbeliever and even goes as far as denying Jesus, his salvation is intact. And I said, which Bible are we reading? When Peter said it would have been better if he never knew the way of salvation, than for him to know it and then turn back. Oh, the Lord is good. Let's stick to our message. That's just a digression. This is the point I'm making. We are soldiers for Christ. That is why he doesn't want to hear complaints from our mouths.